I'm Lowly Gary. Pastor Bob's not here today. He doesn't feel well. So we're going to take a few minutes. We're going to pray, and we're going to ask God to heal him of whatever's going on. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. And God, we humbly bow before you today, God, not for selfish reasons, God. We're not asking you to do something for us, God. We're asking you at this time to help our friend, our brother, our pastor. God, heal his body, heal his mind, heal his spirit. God, comfort him in only the way that you can, Father. Our human lives are weak, God, and you are strong. And it's in our weakness that you're made perfect, God, through us. You allow things to happen. You allow us to become tired, God, to rely on you more. And God, I just pray that right now, God, you will be with Bob as only you can, Father. Put your hand on him, and God, comfort him in his time of weakness with you. God, we thank you for your son Jesus, that he died so that we could be in your presence daily. Thank you, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how many of you brought your Bible? One? Oh, most of you have your phones? I'm not as tall as he is, and I can't see at that angle, so I got to do this. So some of you know that from time to time, Pastor or myself will have some physical ailments, and sometimes it's hard for me to get over here, and he steps in for me. And sometimes he'll text me and say, "Hey, buddy, I'm not feeling well today. I need you to cover for me." And I'm glad to do that. And today was one of those days. But it didn't happen until I was on the road and about at Pismo. So it's not like I had all week to, you know, scour the Bible and become very scholarly for you, okay? So we're going to learn together. How about that? Maybe I won't break this thing. And I did a little bit of thinking, and I thought, well, what in the world am I going to talk about? And I just kept thinking and kept thinking. Nothing was coming to me. And I was like, well, we can't have that. We can't have nothing. But I was poked and prodded by a story in the Bible. Probably a story you know very well, or you know of it very well. You may not know all of the ins and outs. But we're going to read it. And we're going to figure something out. What does God have for us today? All right, I'm on page 1301. Oh, that doesn't help you, does it? Jonah. Because I like to fish, I figured, why not talk about fish? Jonah, chapter 1. I'll be reading out of the New American Standard version of the Bible for non-clarity's sake. I always had a pastor that said he would read out of the New International Version for clarity's sake. And they gave me this Bible when I graduated college. I'll be right here in front of you, Cindy. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that their ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, little g. And they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, lain down and fallen sound asleep. So the captain approached him and said, how is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God, little g. Perhaps your God, little g, will be concerned about us so that we will not perish. Each man said to his mate, come, let us cast lots so that we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, tell us now, on whose account has the calamity struck us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord God, big G, of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, how could you do this? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. So they said to him, what should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us? For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. He said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that on account of me, this great storm has come to you. However, the men rowed desperately to return to land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. Then they called on the Lord and said, we earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us. For you, O Lord, have done as you have pleased. So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father, right now, let us learn something from Jonah, Father, that maybe we didn't see before, maybe we didn't know. Or God, if we did know it, help us to put it back into a priority in our life. And God, I pray that you will speak. God, in my inadequacy, you will communicate. Thank you for being who you are, God, and thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. This is a kid's story, right? Yes. No. Maybe so. You've all heard this story before, haven't you? Has anybody not heard the story of Jonah? Anyone? Anyone? No? Everyone has. Good. So we all know it. We all kind of got an idea of what Jonah was about. There's a few things here that draw attention to me that I kind of think about. First thing is back in verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. So did Jonah just wake up one day thinking, you know, I'd like to go to Nineveh. I'd like to go over there and check it out, see the sights, maybe eat some of the food. You know, it doesn't say Jonah was married, so maybe he might have looked for a girlfriend. I don't know. It doesn't say that, does it? What does it say? The word of the Lord came to Jonah. So God called out to Jonah through the word of the Lord. So God put it on Jonah. Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. It wasn't like he just was like, you know, I think I could go serve God in Nineveh. Or I think I could go serve God, you know, maybe the outskirts of Nineveh. God said to Jonah, I want you to rise up and go to Nineveh and cry out against the wickedness. So God had a plan, right? Yeah, Gary, God had a plan. Wake up now, wake up. Do we need to have Bill go get the donuts for everybody and pass them out? Everybody eat a donut while we're talking? Sugar rush? Except for Phil, he's diabetes. God had a plan. And Jonah didn't know about the plan. Jonah was like, huh? What? You want me to go where? And Jonah was like, in his mind, I could just see it. Jonah was like, I ain't going to Nineveh. They'll kill me there. That's the worst place on earth. Nineveh was a cesspool, is what I like to call it. So he didn't want to go. So what did he do? He ran. He was like, I'm going to go the furthest away from Nineveh that I can go. I know that God called me to do that, but I'm pretty sure that I don't want to. And if I just go this way, then I can't be in the spot that God wants me to be, so I'll be doing something else, and everything will be all right. Do we ever get like that? Absolutely. Do we ever hear God calling and say, Robert, I want you to go here and do this? And Robert's like, yeah, I don't belong there. And so Robert says, but I do belong over here, so I'm going to go over here. Or he says, Gary, I want you to do this. And I might be like, you hear something? I don't hear anything. We all do it. We all do. And what happens? Have you ever, any of you ever been in the belly of a whale?
Feels like it.
Yeah, I was fixing to say, nonsense, you have. You just didn't know that's what you were in. I've been in several bellies of several whales. You probably can just think it's the worst imaginable situation you can be in. That God would hand you over to the things that make your life most miserable. And why does he do that? Is he mad at us? Does he not care for us? Is he trying to punish us? Maybe. I mean, we just sang a song, Good, Good Father. God is our Father. God desires the best for us. How many of you have children? Grandchildren? Great-grandchildren. You don't want anything to happen to them. You wouldn't wish anything bad on your flesh and blood. So for us to think that God would wish anything bad, when I say us, I don't just mean us here in this room. I mean us as a people, a Christian people. To think that God would wish anything bad upon us is nonsense. God doesn't wish bad things upon us. But as many of you know, what at one point in their lives, your children decide that they know better and their way is right. And God says, well, I've got plan A for you. All you have to do is do it. And we choose plan B or C or X. and our children have chose to do something other than what we instructed them to do, we're sad for them. But choices have consequences. Amen? So Jonah, being the smart, wise individual he was, decided to go and get on a boat that was going the exact opposite way from Nineveh. Mistake number one. Not hearing the word of God and heeding the word of God. You can write that part down. That's mistake number one. When you hear the word of God and you don't heed it, that's a no-no. Then what happened to Jonah? Well, he's on a boat, right? With a bunch of other people. I could just imagine it. The love boat, making your dreams come true, right? He's out there, Captain Steuben, you know, Grover, Isaac, all those guys are with him. You know, they're coming, they're serving him, you know, 5-star lunches. No, that didn't happen, did it? That wasn't what it was like. I'm pretty sure this was probably a ship that hauled goats and chickens and all that stuff and probably had a lot of rats, probably didn't have any good food. There was probably a bunch of people that were seasick on it. It was probably worst conditions imaginable. I'm sure they didn't have, you know, plush bedding. It wasn't a leisure trip. He was trying to get out of town and get out of town quick. So he made his way down into the hull of the ship. He wanted to be in the center, as far away from the outside as possible. He wanted to hide. Do we do that? Do we hide from God? Yeah, we do. Sometimes we hide in plain sight. Sometimes we hide under the guise of doing what God has called us to do. Sometimes we say, yeah, God has called me to be in charge of the parking lot at church. That's what I do. I do the parking lot. And who am I to argue with you? I don't know what God said for you to do. Do you know what God has said for me to do? Only if I tell you, right? So if you tell me, Brother Gary, God told me that I'm supposed to be in charge of parking lot maintenance, I'd be like, praise the Lord, you're in charge of parking lot maintenance. But what if that's not what God called you to do? What if God called you to do something else and you decided that parking lot maintenance was a good cover to keep you from having to do what God called you to do? Think that happens in church? Absolutely. It absolutely happens. I'm not saying it's happening here. I'm not pointing any fingers. I'm not flaming any eyeballs towards you or anything like that. I'm just telling you a story, okay? God has a plan for each and every one of us. Sometimes we don't know that plan. Sometimes we hear that plan and we go the opposite direction. Sometimes we stand still and just say, I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that. I'm going to be here. I'm not going to disobey God. I'm still at church. And everything's going to be all right. Someone else will fill that gap. Sometimes we don't hear it because we're not ready to listen. Sometimes we are counterproductive to what God has. Let me say that again. Sometimes we may be having the best of 10 intentions in the world are counterproductive to what God has. But you know what? You and I, my friend, we are not strong enough. We are not powerful enough. We are not awesome enough to hinder God. Can't do it. God will do whatever he needs to do to accomplish his plan. If that means moving us out of the way, putting us in the belly of a whale, then he'll do it. If that means causing us to throw in the towel and hit rock bottom, then he'll do it. If that means putting others in a spot to take blessings from you that you would have received if you would have just listened to God, then he'll do that too. But is that God wanting to be against us? Is that God being mean to us? No. Sometimes if you have more than one child, you want something for some one of your children, and they don't want to do what you want them to do. So you need done what you got to get done, and you ask one of your other children to do it, and then they might get the allowance for that, right? Right? Yeah, so they got the benefit of what you would have gave the other one. And that one says, but Dad, how come I didn't get that $5? And I have to say, gee, Stella, it's because you didn't do that. Stella was in here a minute ago. I'm going to get her after a while because I told her not to leave. God does that to us, doesn't he? Wrong. I tricked you. God doesn't do that to us. We do it to ourselves. Come on now. Stay with me. So what happened on the boat? Storm started. Nah, we're not there yet, Bill. Don't get too far ahead. Straight to the end. Bill always wants to get straight to the end. It's like he wants to get to the sizzler or something. The storm started. It started getting pretty bad, pretty hairy. I'm guessing, you know, you ever seen that movie, The Perfect Storm? Y'all seen that? You know when that boat was going like this and they were throttling up and they were heading up that big wave, probably like a 200-footer, right? And they're getting up there and they're starting to go like this. And all, you know what happened. That boat went backwards like that. Yeah, that's what I'm guessing in my mind. That's what I'm seeing. Is going up these big waves and the boat coming out of the water and crashing down. And these boats are made of wood. They don't have steel yet, right? So these wooden boats are slapping around, making all this racket. People are probably falling overboard, hanging on, and people are grabbing them and throwing them back in. And a shark might come over the top and land inside the boat, flopping around, you know. That's what I'm envisioning because I have a very vivid imagination. Meanwhile, Jonah is down in the belly of the boat sleeping. And the captain of the boat is like, everybody here, where's that guy? That short guy? Where's he? Somebody go below. No, I'll go find him. You all keep doing what you're doing. Goes down in the belly of the boat, finds this guy sleeping. Walks up to him and says, excuse me, sir. I don't think he was like that myself. I think he probably whacked him with an oar or something like that. What are you doing? Do you not know we're about to die here? And the guy's like, huh? What? Huh? Why'd you wake me up? Do we sleep when the storm is raging? Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
We do. We try to get away from it as far away as we can. Pretend like it's not there. Now, we're not always successful. So I get where you're saying, no, we don't do that. But in our mind, we try to move ourselves as far away from the danger, the bad situation as possible. We try to do that. It's natural. If a bear comes into your campground, you don't want to be in the campground anymore. You want to be in the truck, hitting 90 out on the freeway, getting back to your house. So the bear has no chance to maul you, right? If you're walking on the path and you come across a rattlesnake, what do you want to do? You want to turn back and go the other way, right? You don't want to be near the rattlesnake. If you're in the store and the robbers come in and they're at the front taking all the money, you want to stay in the back of the store, don't you? Because you don't want the robbers taking what you have or knocking you out and possibly putting an end to you. That's what we do. Could Jonah avoid what God had for him? He sure tried. And he was probably thinking in his mind, God, I'm gonna go the opposite way. I'm gonna avoid what you can do for me. I'm gonna avoid what you want for me. And God is saying to Jonah, well, you can try, but I promise you, you will not make it. God had a better plan. God needed Jonah, not because he needed Jonah, but because he wanted Jonah. But he needed him to follow him. He needed him to come to his senses. He needed him to act upon the sovereignty in his life that God had placed there. Because there's a hole in each of our lives that is a place only for God. Only He can fill it. Did you know that? That's how God designed us. When Adam and Eve sinned, we were no longer perfect. We were no longer the creation that God intended us to be. So, we had a spot in our life that we have a hole, and only God can fill that hole. That's how He made us. Now, you can search the world over. Y'all know this. I'm not telling you anything new. You can search the world over to try to fill that hole, and nothing is going to make it. Nothing you can do or I can do will quench that fire in your life, except for the love and the Spirit of God. And that comes through Jesus. Through allowing Christ, Jesus, to live through you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, we're all on the same page there. So, back to Jonah. The people around him didn't even know who he was or who his God was. And they told him, hey, bro, how come you're not out here with us praying to your God? The rest of us know we're about to die. Why are you in here? And he basically told him, he's like, yeah, I kind of know why it's happening. I got a good feeling. Well, why don't you share? Do tell. And he tells him, I'm kind of running from the Lord God Almighty, creator of the heavens and earth, and the sea that we're on. Oh, really? That's not information you could have shared with us earlier. Well, not really. I mean, I didn't think it was pertinent. I was just on my way to Tarshish, or whatever the name of that town is. Well, why don't you pray to him and see if he can fix this problem? Yeah, no, he's not going to. We're not kind of on speaking terms right at the moment. Do tell. I'm paraphrasing here a little bit. Sometimes people aren't as bad as we think them to be or make them out to be. They just don't know any better. Sometimes we think that the world is out to get us. Sometimes we think that Everyone's bad. And only the people that go to church are good. That's not the case. There's a lot of people in this world that are good people. But you and I have the knowledge of knowing that that's not what's going to get them to the throne of God. That's not what's going to get them to the place where God says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into your rest." Being a good person is not enough. It's not even this much. You don't even need to be a good person. You can become a good person after you come to God. You can be a total, total, total nightmare and come to Jesus, and he'll turn your life around. But the point of this story, in my opinion, is those people on the boat, they were just living their life. They didn't know who God was. And that was the first opportunity that God revealed himself to them. So the bad situation of Jonah being on the boat when he ran, he thought he was getting away from God. What did he really do? He revealed who God really was. And what does the story say? What did the people on the boat do? Well, yeah, they threw him out. But what happened? They started worshiping the Lord God Almighty. So even when he thought he was trying to escape God, God had a plan for him in that very instance. Sometimes you and I can think, you know, this ain't for me. And I'm not going to do this anymore. And I'm not going to be who I am. I'm going to be someone different. Sometimes we can think we know better than God and we can run from God. And even in running from God, God says, "Well, you can try, but I promise you, you will not make it." Life is not about what I see life as. Life is about the plan that God has for me. Life is about the situations that God puts me in or allows me to be put in, even through my own disobedience. Life is about serving God, serving others, not about serving myself. God didn't allow me to have a wife and children to be selfish for me to only do the things that I want to do, to only be in the places I want to be in, to only eat the food that I want to eat, watch the things on TV that I want to watch. God allowed me to have a wife and children so that I would watch Frozen 978 times a year for the first 4 years of Maddie and Stella's existence. God allowed me to have four daughters to soften my heart because I was a mean, mean, mean person. God allowed me to have daughters so that one day they could grow up and be married and hopefully have a husband that cares about them as much as I care about them. God allows us to be who we are, but he's called us to be who he wants us to be. And the real, real, real trial is, can we stand up and say to the captain, "Hey, Captain, the boat's getting in this bad predicament. Everybody's kind of in danger because I'm not doing what God really called me to do." "Oh, really? Well, what do you recommend?" "Yeah, I kind of recommend you throw me over the boat side and put me out in the water, and I think the storm will stop for you." "Well, then let's do that." So over you go. And what do you know? The storm stops. And you're thinking, okay, I'm in the water. The storm has stopped. I can just swim to Tarshish. No, God has better plans than that. It wouldn't be a Bible if we didn't have some cool story, right? All of a sudden, you know, you're in the middle of the Mediterranean, I'm guessing is where he's at. You know there's sharks in there, right? Could it have been a shark that came up and got him? Well, doesn't say he got dismembered, right? So we're thinking it had to be a whale. It was just a big fish. Maybe it was a Goliath grouper. Now they have teeth too. I'm thinking of some kind of whale. Swallows him up. Can you imagine what that would be like? Have any of you ever had your hand in the mouth of a big fish? You have? You've been noodling?
Not noodling, just cleaning it, yeah.
Oh, cleaning it.
Getting the hooks out.
Yeah.
Catfish.
Could you imagine, like, your whole body goes in there? You know, he was in there for 3 whole days. Can you imagine how bad he stank when he got out? I'm thinking that he, like, was bleached white, you know, had fish acid gut acid all over him, had been eating on him for 3 days. I'm thinking he was pretty much like the worst possible looking thing that you, probably like a ghost. And he gets spit up on the shore. We didn't really go over that part. Maybe we'll do it later. But that's another story. I don't think he had anything to eat. I think he was probably, you know, that's what I'm thinking myself. I mean, fish smell bad enough on the outside, let alone the inside. Let me tell you, I caught some fish one time and I went to cleaning them things because I love to eat them. And I cut one open, a largemouth bass that had been eating crayfish. And let me tell you, that was about the stinkiest thing I ever smelt in my life. And I've smelt some stinky stuff. I mean, I've seen lots of dirty diapers. I've worked inside of a trash truck, you know, cleaning the back of a trash truck. That was pretty bad. The second worst thing I've ever smelled was when I worked at a grocery store and they had one of the meat cases had went down several weeks before I got there. And they put all that meat in these big bins and they put it in the deep freeze. And then they got this thing called Reclaim that comes around and gets it. I don't know what they do with that meat. Maybe they grind it up, make dog food. I don't know. Whatever. But that was some stinky stuff. But that didn't hold a candle to the rotten crayfish that were being digested in the belly of that bass. That was the stinkiest thing I've ever seen in my life. I almost wanted to, you know what, throw that fish away and not eat it. But I didn't. God calls us to do his will in a non-stinky environment most of the time. We get to be in the stinky environment because we don't always follow what God wants us to do. God has a great plan. And sometimes we mess it up. For us, not for him. Because God's plan is going to happen whether you or I participate or not. But God wants you to participate. He wants me to participate. He wants me to be right in the spot that he has for me. And he has called you to a spot as well. Each and every one of us. I don't know what time it is. I feel like I've probably been speaking about 30, 35 minutes. 11:37, that's not bad. I challenge you to listen for the word of God. not your heart's desire, not your interpretation, but listen for what God has called you to do. Some of you may be thinking that, Gary, past that. Ah, horse hockey. We're never too old. We're never too out of shape. We're never too used up to be used by God. It may not be the way that you think, but please don't run to Tarshish to get away from God. Because God may call you to Nineveh, but he may just call you to go over there to say, hey, God loves you. That's all I wanted to say. He may call you to go over there and be a pastor. He may call you to go over there and be something even better. But he may just call you to tell someone that that God loves them. And that's all you got to do. Amen?
Amen.
You catch what I'm saying? You do? Everybody says yes. Pretty much, yeah. You know what the Bible says about sin, don't you? It's against it. Yeah, that's pretty much, you can sum it up like that. The Bible's against it. You know what the Bible says about listening to God, right? It's for it. What's the commandment? Say that louder.
Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, body, and soul.
Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And what's the second one?
Love your neighbor
as you love yourself. Against these two things, there's no law. And if you do these two things, all the rest of it's going to work out. Pretty easy, isn't it? Why do we make it so hard? We got problems. That's what it is. All right, that's what I got for you today. Before we close, I'm going to move us into a really short business meeting, okay? All right. I'm going to call this meeting to